American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Monday to all of you. Got a great show planned for you today. Steve and I are going to go through some headlines in this first and second segment. Third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Karen Cataline. You know her. She's a commentator, columnist, and talk show host. And we're going to be talking about the difference between a lawless law and a lawful law, and very timely with some of these headlines that we'll be going through. As we look at these issues, my friends, we need to go to what Rudyard Kipling, he lived at the turn of the 20th century, so the early 1900s, and he wrote The Jungle Book, and he said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And it would really be a great thing if we started to teach our kids critical thinking instead of this indoctrination that has been occurring throughout our country, because we have to ask ourselves, what on earth is going on here? So we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And my goodness gracious, we are kicking the tires on socialism these days, and it isn't pretty. Producer Steve, how are you doing this Monday morning?
Yeah, present. Did you say happy Monday?
I said happy Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, happy Monday.
Duly noted. It's a matter of record now.
It's a matter of record for sure.
Hey, I was thinking while you're quoting Kipling, I guarantee you the people who are out there tearing down this country right now are not asking what, where, who, when, and how. They are not.
They're just saying, how can we tear this down, is what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's what they're in, and as we're seeing that work itself out. Remember, my friends, socialism ultimately comes down to force. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihoods via force, whether it's with a weapon policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force it to implement it. And so I went to our quote for today is Clarence Thomas. There is a new documentary out about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Have you seen that, Steve?
I have not, but looking ahead here at the quote that you've chosen here, every time I hear Thomas speak, there seems to be this very quiet, I hate to use the word sarcasm, but you know he's, by the expression on his face, he's thinking something that you know you want to pay attention very closely to what he's about to say, because the look on his face is kind of, it says it all.
Well, he is one of the conservative justices on the Supreme Court, and conservative, you know, there's been such an assault on words. Conservative means to conserve the ideas of our Declaration and our Constitution. Now, I know that it's been hijacked to some degree to say that, oh, conservatives want to judge you on your life or whatever. That's not the case. In fact, conservatives in true conservatism really want to have in place laws that adhere to the Constitution, that protect your right of speech, your right to assemble, your freedom of religion, all of those kinds of things. America has been a great melting pot. And that was one of the great things about America, is all these people coming in from different nationalities and melting into this idea that all men are created equal with rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And Clarence Thomas is one of those justices that is there to try to protect that. Now, yeah, I would highly recommend the documentary. And he grew up poor. He grew up initially rural poor. And then they moved to, was Savannah, but I'm not sure that's the case. He then saw urban poor. And he said that there's really two differences there. But here is a guy who grew up so poor And now he is one of the Supreme Court justices here in the United States, which proves that in America, anything is possible, Steve.
Well, put him, stand him next to Ben Carson. We know Ben Carson's background is one of, you know, growing up in a very, you know, poor environment, single mother. Thank you. And her, the discipline that she inculcated in him, and, you know, look where he is today.
Or Lincoln. Lincoln grew up so poor.
Absolutely.
As well. And he read books by candlelight and was self-educated. But let's go to this quote.
Before you read the quote, I'm thinking, you talked about the melting pot. You've seen the opinion pieces written out there that say the melting pot has been replaced by the salad bar.
Yeah, right, where everything's different.
Yeah.
And that, and we have a real problem with that. It's difficult to make a meal out of that then, you know what? So, okay, Clarence Thomas is an American judge, lawyer, and government official who currently serves as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. He is currently the most senior Associate Justice on the court following the retirement of Anthony Kennedy. Thomas succeeded Thurgood Marshall and is the second Black American to serve on the court. Among the current members of the court, he is the longest-serving justice with a tenure of 28 years, 95 days, as of January 26, 2020. He was born in 1948, so he is 72 years old. He just turned 73. Okay, here we go. He said, I'd grown up fearing the lynch mobs of the Ku Klux Klan. As an adult, I was starting to wonder if I'd been afraid of the wrong white people all along, where I was being pursued not by bigots in white robes, but by left-wing zealots draped in flowing sanctimony.
Now, does that back up what I said earlier about the quiet sarcasm there? I mean, he's taking a jab at, you know, the left-wing zealots draped in, what does he say? Flowing sanctimony.
Yes.
So I just eat that stuff up. That just resonates with me.
Well, you know, as I search for these quotes, my friends, I would suggest that you start to take a look, you know, go through these. And, you know, the many of the quotes that come up with from Clarence Thomas, I mean, they're inspiring. Each of these, I'm learning so much in doing this for you all. And so I hope that I hope you're learning as well. Want to say thank you to this team that I get to work with, the Crawford Broadcasting team, as well as our team of Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you have a purpose today. Go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And let's jump in here to some of these headlines. This is from the Centennial Citizen. And it says, the public health agency for Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas County, which is Tri-County Health, will require masks in public indoor spaces and outdoors where people can't remain 6 feet away from others, beginning July 24th. But the order includes a long list of exceptions. It also requires businesses to refuse customers who aren't wearing masks, and those who don't comply could have their business licenses suspended or revoked. The orders in response to COVID-19 was approved July 8 by the Tri-County Health Department Board of Health, the agency that oversees Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas counties. Counties and municipalities can opt out of the order by July 23rd, and Douglas County's elected leaders announced plans on July 9 to do so. Where the order applies, people must wear a face covering if they are outdoors and unable to maintain a distance of 6 feet from those who are not members of their household. In any indoor location where members of the public are generally allowed, waiting for, riding on, driving, or operating public transportation, or while in a taxi, private car service, or ride-sharing vehicle, obtaining healthcare services in settings such as hospital, pharmacy, medical clinic, laboratory, physician or dental office, veterinary clinic, or blood bank. It also applies when people are working, whether at a workplace or offsite, in the following context: interacting with any members of, in public, working in a space visited by members of the public, working in a space where food is prepared or packaged for sale or distribution, working or walking through common areas or in an enclosed area where other people, except for the person's household members, are present and unable to physically distance. Businesses must refuse customers. If an individual refuses to wear a mask for reasons not allowed under the order's exceptions. Steve, we're getting to see right here, going back to what we had in our quote today from Justice Thomas. This would be your left-wing zealots draped in flowing sanctimony. Unfortunately, there's also people that are not, don't describe themselves as left-wing that are adhering to these particular rules. And I wanted to just, I had this really excellent COVID-19 facts that I wanted to mention to you, Steve. This was in a meme that somebody sent to me. It says, the virus can travel 6 feet. It cannot travel 6 feet 1 inches or greater. It can live on all surfaces except anything that comes in the mail from Amazon. It does not live in Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, or any grocery store. It's harmless in protests, riots, and looting. It's only deadly in bars, restaurants, small businesses, hair salons, and it cannot live on your food as long as you get it to go.
I need to tell the listeners something. They can't see it, obviously, but there's a blood. We have installed a blood pressure cuff on the console right next to you, and you're hooked up to it right now, and it is really peaking.
I tell you,
this is obviously a great discussion item everywhere you go, and I have the sarcasm aspect. I got the sarcasm bug. And I will inevitably say, well, you know, looking at the calendar, Election Day is November 3rd. The virus will be all gone by November 4th.
Yeah.
And, you know, so someone say, well, how dare you be so, you know, sarcastic or take this so lightly? It's like, I'm sorry, but take a good look at what's happening here and the way that this thing has been weaponized. And I don't know. I just cannot sort. I'm taking on a lot of information, and I'm getting to the point of overload.
Well, these mask ordinances are the new Jim Crow laws. And the Jim Crow laws were put in place by Southern Democrats by saying to businesses which people you could serve and which people you can't. This is no difference than that. And then what happens, what's so insidious, as you mentioned, these health departments that they're unelected and they're putting in, they're weaponizing these health departments against the American people. But how they're doing it is they've shut down these businesses. You know, we did that podcast with Steve Kessler, which is on our website now, and which was in the weekly newsletter. Which reminds me, you guys should be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can go to Kim Munson, MONSON.com to do that. And he said what Marxism is all about is taking away people's individuality and also the abolition of private property. Now, Steve, on this whole shutdown, you know what? I think let's go to break because I'd really like to chat a bit more about this. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners. And they have 5 locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside services. They have happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Wednesday is Wings Day. All you can eat wings. That's dine-in only for $15.99. They have lunch specials. And they also have a beer of the month. And I think we're probably going to at least have some sports we can watch, which would really be fun to just go over, sit out on the patio, watch some sports, kind of just veg out a little bit from all that's going on. And be sure and try out Hooters Restaurants. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation on the new Jim Crow laws of 2020.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Sorry about that. Be sure to check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. A couple of things. We did this great podcast. We have two great podcasts. One that we rolled out was with Tim McCormick, who is running for district attorney in Adams and Broomfield counties. And if we do not think that these races are important, just take a look at what happened in St. Louis with those that family, that couple that had been threatened by the protesters that were walking by their house. Apparently the protesters had threatened to burn down their house and kill their dog. And so they brought out their weapons and said, you know, you're not going to do that here. And apparently some of their weapons have been taken from them, or their firearms. And so these district attorney races are really important, because these activist district attorneys are letting their communities, for example, in Chicago, they're basically on fire. Have you seen the number of deaths, black on black deaths, that have occurred in Chicago, Steve? And I just can't figure out why there's no outrage on that.
No, that defies description, because we've been watching. We've had a front row seat to this for I don't know how long now. It's just become the routine. And there's the mayor of Chicago every Monday in her press conference or news conference, and she brings out the same deer in the headlights look, like, I don't have a clue. And she finds the most weird thing. I mean, weird, no other way to describe it, things to blame it on. And I just, how long are the greater Chicago area, you know, within the city limits, these people are going to just continue to let her sit there and basically twiddle her thumbs? Because I don't see her doing much of anything.
Well, people have got to start to demand that our elected officials start to adhere again to this vision of the Declaration, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is what government is put in place to do, is to protect those things. And we're, you know, clearly, you're right, I should have a blood pressure Monday morning with the things that are going on. But just the assault on our everyday rights, Steve, is just, it's unbelievable.
And you think sometimes that it can't get any more absurd, but then all of a sudden something will pop up and some sanity comes into it. We see what we just now discussed in Chicago, envision the country as a spectrum. At the other end of the spectrum in Seattle, there seems to be a serious recall effort getting underway regarding, you know, the mayor. They're going to go after her after she let the chop, or whatever, what else it was called, Chaz, you know, right under her nose, and almost made light of it. Oh, it's going to be our summer of love. And
until they came over to her house.
Until they came to her front door. All of a sudden, oh, well, maybe this isn't so cool after all.
Yeah, so maybe I'm not, as an elected official, not going to call her an elected official, a politician. Maybe I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do as far as make sure that your property, your life, and your liberty is protected. But by gosh, when mine is, then that's when I step up. That is the hypocrisy of the elite left. And it's real frustrating. What do you think?
Well, and then I don't know. We were thinking of going to these different places around the country, but was it the governor of Milwaukee? Oh, okay.
What Minneapolis? Michigan.
Who came to Trump and said, I'd like $500 million to recoup from all the damages.
Oh, that was Polis, I think.
No. Yeah, well, you know,
remember him on the plane going to Washington to ask for money? But go ahead.
Yes. Well, I mean, he went to the federal government and said, can I get $500 million to help pay for some of the damages done? And the answer was no.
As it should be. And what was it on Friday? Somebody said, we said defund the federal government instead of defunding the police. Defund the federal government. Maybe that was Brigitte Gabriel. But anyway, I wanted to go back to this thing that is on this podcast that we did with Stephen Kessler. And that is that socialism, Marxism, ultimately wants to get rid of our individuality as well as the abolition of private property rights and private property. So, Steve, when you see people walking around with these masks, which really do not make sense. I mean, here we've had, you know, all this environmental EPA stuff because we've been so concerned about breathing in CO2, right? correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now we make everybody wear a mask so that they're not exhaling all of the toxins that, you know, we normally just breathe out from our bodies, the toxins we get rid of from our bodies. Instead, we put masks over them so that we breathe them back in. I mean, just common sense, that just doesn't make sense, Steve.
Well, again, you're constantly vigilant. You're watching what's going on around you. You see, you know, the man or woman in the car next to you, where they're all by themselves and they're wearing a mask. I've seen bike riders, you know, on the weekend. There's a bike rider out in the open air. No 6-foot rule, you know, applies. But yet the guy, the person, is wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, okay, did they maybe put it on earlier, needing it, and then forgot that they're wearing it? Or it's just the whole thing has become bizarre.
Well, it has been. And the other thing is the abolition of property or private property. And what happened with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption? You know, many corporations, you know, received money. Big corporations received money. And then, you know, the legislation that was put in place that Trump, you know, was supporting to try to support our small businesses. Now, we did see that there were, you know, larger corporations, larger nonprofits that stepped up to the plate. They could lawyer up. They had the accountants. They could, you know, get in line first. And so we're seeing many small businesses, people that have worked, you know, for many, many years to build their businesses, their private property. We're seeing that, you know, many of those businesses are going out of business. A friend of mine said just recently that dry cleaners that their family members have used for many, many years, they said, you know, here's your clothes, and we're going to close. And so this has been an insidious way of the abolition of our private property, Steve.
In that same light, again, hypocrisy knows no bounds. And we've all been watching, you know, for the last 3+ years, Robert De Niro. Any particular forum he can get in front of, any microphone he can get in front of, and just blast away at Trump in the most vile ways. And it came out last week that what was the program called? Personal Paycheck Protection, mm-hmm. in the money. Mm-hmm. And he got made sure that he owns a restaurant chain, and he made sure he got some of that money, like multiple millions of dollars of that money. Like, wow, this is not bad for a guy that you despise so much.
Okay. So I'm going to connect this other dot, and that is from this first headline that we had. It says, any business, and again, this is coming down from an agency that is governed by people that are not elected. They're appointed by elected officials, but many of the elected officials are hiding behind that. I do have to you know, give a shout out, though, to the Douglas County commissioners, Abe Layton, Roger Partridge, and Laura Thomas, that are working diligently to get variances. And they said that we're going to get out of Tri-County Health. And so that is really great. But again, under Marxism, there is the abolition of private property. So just see how this is connected with this edict from Tri-County. It says, any business open to the public that allows a person to enter or remain on the business premises without a mask may be subject to the suspension or revocation of its license by the appropriate licensing authority as provided by law. And so what they would do is they would use government to take away your right to have your business. And that is very draconian. Couple of other things, though. As many of you may know, this is Bandimere Speedway. They are standing their ground following their continuation of their temporary restraining order. What they did is, I believe it was on July 4th, the holiday weekend.
Yes.
They drew a large crowd amidst the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. And so Jefferson County judge said Thursday, a temporary restraining order, which went into effect July 2nd, will remain in place for the track, as she indicated she's making a ruling within the next couple of weeks. And so the Bandimere family isn't backing down. Bandimere Jr. told CBS4 in Denver, you know, I put my trust in the Lord and he's in control. and the families receive support in at every turn. It's become noteworthy and noticeable, and fans everywhere are hoping it will be enough to keep the track open and thriving through the pandemic and beyond. One other thing, you know, Patty's been keeping the numbers of our deaths here in Colorado and also nationally. And the numbers just do not, they do not match up to be closing down businesses or to be doing this forced mask wearing. We've had 1,586 deaths that are attributed to coronavirus as of July 11th. Each one of those people are treasured and valued, but that just does not merit all of these draconian things that are occurring. Let's talk to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, on this Monday morning. Jason McBride, happy Monday.
Well, happy Monday to you too, Kim.
So what's going on in your world?
Well, the markets are not behaving in a draconian fashion, really. The moonshot on the NASDAQ continues. We had a nice another up day Friday. And boy, when you look at the chart on the NASDAQ, I mean, it has just pretty much gone straight up. We've had a couple of little pullbacks, but nothing breaks that straight up line that we've had on that index as tech continues to lead. Now, Kim, it's interesting, if you look at the S&P 500, though, which has been kind of going sideways since about the first week of June, it hasn't made much progress. It looks like it's trying to move its way up towards the top end of the range and maybe start breaking back to highs again and try to catch up with the NASDAQ. And we did see a little bit of indication of that last week when stocks that were in industries that are, let's call it, other than technology, other than biotech, stuff that's a little bit more boring, your consumer discretionary, products like that started to move up as well. So maybe we'll get all the markets behaving the same, which will all be good, let's hope.
And on the NASDAQ, has the volume been strong on that also, Jason?
Yeah, the NASDAQ has had good buying. It's a little bit distorted, I'll tell you, because the volume has just been very, very heavy all around. I mean, the volume started getting very heavy back in late February compared to what the average was before, Kim. To give you an idea, in mid-February, the average volume on the NASDAQ was about $2.5 billion a day. Now it's running at about, oh my goodness, it's way up there. It's like, look at the numbers, it's like over $5 billion a day. So it's extremely active. But mostly we're seeing a good solid volume on the upside there.
Okay. Well, I think in some ways that raises questions for me, because capital is moving into that when, you know, if something happens, then capital might move back out. So it's probably a good time, I really think, to kind of take your temperature. It's hot outside. Take your temperature on your investment portfolio. And it would be great for people to sit down with you and your colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management to do that, because there's certainly opportunity. But we're in a position of strength right now, and that seems like a good time to do that.
Yeah, I think so too, Kim. It may be a good time to think about taking some gains. Everybody's different. I'm just looking at the markets overall, and there's some stuff that has really, really gone up. Nothing goes straight up forever. And again, a couple of months ago we were in the doldrums, and now NASDAQ is at higher new all-time highs, like this never even happened. So it could be a good opportunity to look to do a reset, an adjustment, or to just take a look and see how you feel about your risk going forward.
You know, and the other thing, Jason, is I think sometimes people think, oh, I would have to sell all that stock. Well, you know, when you do kind of a rework on your portfolio, you might take some profits on a stock and, you know, move that over to someplace else. It doesn't mean you have to totally sell that stock, but you may consider taking some profits when you're up here at these levels.
Yep, that's absolutely correct, Kim. You have a ton of flexibility to do partial this, partial that, or, you know, some folks do like to do a full overhaul, and that's okay too.
So, how can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One is to check us out at AIR, that's AIRpresidential.com. That's our landing page. Good looking picture of you on there, Kim. I'm there too, but not good looking, that's for sure. The other way is the easy and old school way. Just give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And Kim, I like to remind folks, just because I'm the big mouth that comes and blabs on your show every day doesn't mean I'm the only advisor at Presidential. There's a lot of very, very fine men and women we have there that are very smart, vivacious, and willing to help.
That's for sure. So again, that number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Karen Cataline. She's a commentator, columnist, and talk show host, and she has a really important piece about civil disobedience isn't just for Gandhi anymore. It's not only for us to disobey lawless laws, but to demand that those we elect to enforce the lawful ones. So timely with what's going on in America right now. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. Thrilled to have on the line with me Karen Cataline. She's a commentator, a columnist. She has her own talk show. She holds a master's degree from Columbia University. And she's really an excellent writer, an excellent speaker. Karen Cataline, welcome to the show.
Always great to talk to you, Kim. I hope you're ready because I'm loaded for bear. On this mask thing, I am loaded for bear.
Okay, let's talk about it. Did you catch the first part of the show by any chance? Because I was talking about Tri-County Health. So let's jump in here. What do you think, Karen?
Before I rant, and again, thank you for having me, I wanted to know if you know where we can get a list of those exceptions. I'd love to see that.
Okay.
And I don't live in Tri-County, thank God, so... where is that? Where can people find those exceptions?
Okay, the piece that Patty found was, this was from the CentennialCitizen.net, and it said, businesses must refuse customers without masks. So this is a piece that looks like there's probably links in there as well. So I'll get that over to you so
okay.
that you've got that.
Very good. Well, you know, I guess it's best to talk about from the general to the specific. You did mention my article where I mentioned Gandhi. I'm doing a lot more short pieces because so much is going on. So the latest major piece that I have is called hashtags, Defy Tyrants, which is already an established hashtag, and Unmask. But together it says Defy Tyrants and Unmask. And the mask has become the symbol and endemic of everything, I think, that we are going through. And it's difficult because they're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us. And I was talking to my dear, sweet husband with an edge, and I said, you're so good at this. Help me get a good one-sentence description that will explain the idea that's in my head. And what he said, I'll tell you the sentence first, and then I'll explain. He said, the better things get, the worse things get.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, and it's so fundamentally true. At the beginning of all of this was the greatest severity of whatever this was, that we didn't know what it was. We all cooperated. And the only thing they started out telling us was wash your hands, right?
Right.
That's it. Wash your hands. We recommend it. We're not going to tell you. Just wash your hands, right? And as things continued for months, we had more and more and more restrictions, more and more threats and punishment and bullying. Now you're not allowed to serve somebody who doesn't do the bidding of the state by wearing a mask. And yet, not only do we know more about this coronavirus, but it is much less severe than we know. The facts are out about it, and the death rate is minuscule, and the death rate has been inflated, and the very people telling us what to do are responsible for that death rate. I know a rabbi whose mother died in a Brooklyn nursing home because of the either malfeasance or absolute evil of a governor who sends COVID-19 patients into the most vulnerable population, which is diabolical, and we'll find out about that in some years from now, perhaps when it won't matter anymore and we'll either be free again or we'll be a communist country. So it's a lot to take in, but if we remember that the better things get, the worse things get, and they have completely detached themselves from all fact and reality about this virus, because it isn't about the virus. And the piece that I also had is that masking the truth. The mask masks the truth. The truth is, it isn't about the virus at all. It's about obedience.
And one That's exactly right.
Because you know, yeah, one more sentence, because you know how verbose I can be. I'm a talk show host, for heaven's sake. And that is that you hit it right on the head, and I write consistently about the fact that you cannot have socialist/communism, which unfortunately is all the same thing. It's just a matter of time when one turns into the other. You can't have any of that without destroying individualism, destroying individuality. That's why they destroy small businesses, mm-hmm. because they're symbols of individuality, whereas Walmart and, you know, the same box stores look the same all over the country. They're big enough to do business with the government. I mean, I used to love... See, I'm not letting you get a word in. I used to love grocery shopping, Kim. Until now, when I go in, there's piped in messages to me about coronavirus and how we're all in this together,
yeah.
and how we all must do this and we all must do that. I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone cult.
Well, and I watched 1984 this weekend. And
oh, great.
And I really saw correlations between, you know, the continued barrage of the message. It seems like you mentioned, the piped in messages that you see, or like when I was coming into the building today, I see a little thing in the elevator. It says, you know, take care of your health. I mean, that's what, you know, and I tell you what, when people say stay safe to me right now, I'm just kind of like, I don't think
you. On the back of your neck.
Yeah.
This is for your own good.
Yeah.
We only do this because we care about you, because we're more compassionate than those evil, selfish individualists. Meanwhile, it's okay to riot, loot, and burn down cities that threaten innocent individual citizens, because the whole thing is a lie. The entire thing is a lie.
Okay.
So the question is, what do we do about it, right?
Well, yes, that is the question. So let's talk about that in the next segment. But sure. I wanted to connect a dot for you, which you and I have not chatted about this yet. But this is a dot that is very, very important, okay? And that is that on Tri-County Health, the way that works out is the elected officials, the county commissioners, they appoint... Each county appoints three directors. Okay, so there's Tri-County Health, so there's nine directors. And one of the directors from Adams County, who is the one that has really pushed this forward, is a woman named, her name is Julie Mullica. She just happens to be the wife of Kyle Mulica, who is a Colorado state representative from Adams County. And he has been the representative that has really been pushing forward these forced vaccination pieces of legislation. Okay. Mm. And then at the end of the session, this last legislative session, Representative Tim Geithner had learned of Steve Ryder's story. And Steve's story was that his wife, Elizabeth, had been in the hospital, University of Colorado Hospital here, for 20 days, and they were not allowed to visit her. They thought that they were going to bring her home. Instead, she went into cardiac arrest, and she died alone without her family being able to be there. So Representative Geithner put forth some legislation to say this should not happen, and it passed unanimously out of the Colorado Senate. And this, again, was late in the legislative session. It gets over to the House, and 17 Democrats vote against this, which in essence say that they supported people dying alone. And Representative Mulica, who is the husband of Julie Mulica, who is the one who is really, I think, spearheading this draconian stuff through Tri-County Health, and because they quote-unquote care about us, you know, when you really pull the veil back, they didn't care that Elizabeth Ryder died alone. I just thought you might want to know that.
Well, Kim, you are amazing. You do your homework. You are phenomenally well-informed. And these stories are exceptionally important because they put a face and a humanity on the kind of big picture stuff that I generally do or like to do. And those stories are happening all over this country. As a social worker, you mentioned I have a social work degree.
From Columbia, right?
Outset. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very conservative school. didn't see Obama there, but that's another story. At the very outset of this, when I began to hear that the elderly were dying alone, I was so appalled. You know, I was almost getting physically sick. You know, this makes me so sick to see that, because there's almost nothing more morally obligatory than to be with a loved one when he's or she is dying. This ought to be in everyone's head as to the moral turpitude, the moral lack of credibility, if nothing else, and I'm being kind, of these people who have appointed themselves our betters, have appointed themselves the people that get to tell us what to do, how to live, whether we can leave our home. It's stunning to me that some people still don't get it. Even some conservatives still to this day do not understand how a dictatorial rule to muzzle yourself, to cut off your oxygen, and to do something that is wholly and completely stupid and probably harms your health more than it helps it, we have those statistics, that isn't a big enough deal to go to the mattresses for. We want to spend our political capital elsewhere. You know what? It's time to shake these people into reality and realize it's all the same stuff. If you let one thing go and you don't use it to organize the way the left does, civil, community organizing, then you're just going to be boiled to death in the pot faster. They will continue to move forward as long as we put up no resistance.
So, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Karen Cataline. She does have her degree in social work from Columbia University. She's also a commentator, columnist, and talk show host. And you can find her at KarenCataline.com. And that is spelled Karen, then Cataline, KATALINE.com. I got that right, didn't I, Karen?
You most certainly did, and you didn't even make fun of my first name, which is now an instrument of bigotry.
You mean Corona Karen, you got it. Okay. So let's go to break, because what can we do about this with this, with these health departments that are weaponizing themselves against everyday people but they're doing it by threats of taking away our businesses and licenses. What can we do about it? This is Kim Munson. Stay tuned. I'm talking with Karen Cataline.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. We've got all of our great guests, podcasts, op-eds, and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I'm talking with Karen Cataline. She is a commentator, columnist, and talk show host. You can find her at KarenCataline.com, and that is spelled Karen, and then Cataline, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E.com. And she has her degree in social work from Columbia University. And we're talking about these mask ordinances and springstaxpayers.com. You know, Patty does all of this great research for us. And she has found here that the mask ordinance is going to be moving swiftly through Colorado Springs City Council, probably I guess the work session is tonight. And I think the meeting is going to be tomorrow night. Mayor Southers. Mm-hmm. And he'd been a former attorney general, a Republican attorney general. He's the mayor of Colorado Springs now, is heavily promoting mask wearing. While the positive COVID-19 cases are rising in Colorado, deaths and hospitalizations have not risen dramatically. And that same pattern applies in El Paso County. The reason the cases are going up, my friends, is because we're increasing the testing. Karen Cataline, what are we going to do about this?
Well, for one thing, we have to stop debating the issue and get to the point of taking action. And that's hard even for me because that's what I do. I debate issues. I try to talk about whatever's going on. But even in conservative talk radio circles, there's very few people that say, you know what? The time has come to act. So what do? Well, number one, we all can't do everything. So we now understand just how valuable community organizing actually is that our previous president was involved in, because conservatives do that very poorly. We believe in individualism. We don't believe in community collective action. But at this point, for a political tool, that's precisely what we have to do. So a couple of things, I'll try to be as succinct as I can be. And these are just ideas, mind you, but we must stand up and take action, because if we knuckle under to mask rules and bullying of businesses and all the things you've been talking about this hour, it will continue to get worse and worse, and it will escalate even quicker. If anybody thinks they're going to stop with mask rules and bullying people the way they have been, they're sadly mistaken. So every single one of your listeners is a leader. Why? Because they listen to your show, because they are informed, because they love you and they appreciate and understand that you're there to inform them. So every leader must engage in their own community. My proposal, and I'm willing to be outvoted here, but I think we have to do something, and plan a flash mob. A flash mob is when either you go into a store unmasked, don't you love those puns? Mm-hmm. En masse, go into a store unmasked, as many as the store will allow, like a Walmart, and then take off your mask at a decided upon time, like at 12 noon, take them all off and stand there and sing God Bless America. Stand there and sing the national anthem. These are the kind of courageous acts that the left thinks it's courageous to burn down a police station in Minneapolis, and we're too afraid because we are law-abiding citizens. We don't like defying laws. But as Gandhi said, 100,000 Englishmen cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. And we don't have a leader. We have to be our own leader. We have to be a leader in our community and gather as many people as we can to stand up to these unconstitutional, unfair, unjust, and unhealthy laws. The only way to do that is to do it now, to do it en masse, and to be willing to get arrested. Have you ever seen a Democrat who wasn't willing to get arrested? They're all willing to get arrested because they know that either they're going to get arrested and the media will protect them, or they can't do anything. Now, yes, we are in a different position because the world is the walls are closing in on us. When Southers, a minute Republican, who knows what his motive is, at the very least, he's part of the deep state. I'm appalled and disgusted with any Republican who would consider such a law. The fact that he is means that he's no longer on our side. He's no longer on the side of individual freedom, okay? There's no and if you get caught up in the debate about masks at this point, you miss the point. The point is about freedom. It's not about anything else. They've put forth the idea that my mask protects you. That means my freedom threatens you, and that's preposterous.
That is preposterous. And, you know, the narrative early on was just so insidious. I remember driving down I-25 and, you know, those traffic signs that they used to tell you if there was, you know, a traffic jam ahead or whatever. Now they're propaganda signs that say, stay home, save a life. So the flip side of that is if you don't stay home, you want to kill somebody.
And those signs are still out there. I mean, it's like, right?
Yeah, they are.
Yes, if you don't stay home and do as you are told as a grown-up adult over 21, you are killing somebody. This is how they were putting all the propaganda in place and why they ratcheted up the manipulation and the bullying until now in the middle of July when we know the virus is less deadly and less, you know, the mortality rate from the virus is nothing, but the mortality rate for what they're doing to us is growing and is higher than ever. Suicides, domestic violence, rape in that stupid area where they tried to take over six blocks of a city. I mean, it's common sense. But unfortunately, cults are trying to get you to believe an entire universe, alternate universe. It is a cult. That's what it is. People who are walking around in masks, who are just doing as they are told, have already been co-opted into the cult. And well, so what do? You have the courage to stand up en masse and take those damn masks off. If you want to wear one, that's great. We're not bullying people for wearing one, but we are being bullied for not wearing one.
That's an excellent point. We have just about a minute left, Karen Cataline. What is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, there's a Hebrew word. It's always helpful. Chazak, C-H-A-Z-A-K. It means strength. Be strong. Be courageous. Listen to Winston Churchill when he says, we will never, 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 never give up. All we want is our country back and our Constitution back. And if we don't stand up now, it'll be harder than ever to stand up later. We must stand up now. That's my message. And thank you for having me. You are wonderful.
Oh, it's great to have you as well. And that is Karen Cataline. And you can find her at Karen Cataline, KATALINE.com. And it is unique. You're starting to just do these quick snippets as well. And what really got us going on this was civil disobedience isn't just for Gandhi anymore. It's not only for us to disobey lawless laws, but to demand that those we elect to enforce the lawful ones. So, Karen Cataline, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And we've got a great week planned for you this week. A lot of great shows. Tomorrow, we will be talking with Professor John Ellis about what has happened on our campuses and how the campus culture is actually coming to our streets. You won't want to miss that. And so just a great show planned for you all week. So be sure and check out Kim Munson. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that as well. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Our quote for today is from Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He says, government cannot make us equal. It can only recognize, respect, and protect us as equal before the law. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I